For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water. The straw man will become tinder, his work also a spark. Thus they shall both burn together, and there will be none to quench them. I believe those oaks there, referring to high places and the gardens, just referring to their idolatry. Often taking place, however, on high places. Why? This is just conjecture, theory. I think it goes back to the thinking of man. If God is up there, then let's do things on high places. Remember the Tower of Babel? Right? And we have it with the Greeks. They have Mount Olympus. Often it's high places. High places. And the higher and the mightier and the more majestic your temple or your place of worship, the greater your God. But this is what the only true God says in Isaiah chapter 2. The word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2, now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. What's he saying there? Is he going to change the topography of the land? He might. He might. There might only be one mountain in the new heavens and the new earth. Or there might be only one high one. And that's where the temple is. Whether or not that happens with geography, with the physical reality of the earth itself, the point that's being made here is clear. It will come about in the last days that the Lord, and you got a capital L, capital O, capital RD in there in verse 2, means Yahweh. He will be what? Raised up above all else. He will be exalted. And all the nations will stream to it. That word there is stream, like a stream. You know, like water flowing and rushing. Except in this case, it's rushing to and up a mountain. Right? All the nations. In verse 3, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The first thing that has to happen in order for there to be world peace, we'll get to the world peace part in verse 4, John already read it for us. The first thing that has to happen is that God, the God of Jacob, not the God of Bob and the God of Janet and the God of Buddha and the God of this and the God of that, but the God of Jacob, known as Yahweh, but we write Lord, which sometimes we use the word Lord for other things, the only true God must be exalted. Something that was not going on in Israel. He was not exalted. Not even under the best of kings. The high places were kept around. But he must be exalted as the only true God before all the nations. That's what it says. And all the nations will stream to it. The end of verse 2. Many peoples will come and say, verse 3, in order for there to be world peace, the only true God must be exalted, acknowledged, and rushed to as the only true God. And mark his words, not mine, that will come about. And the second thing that must happen, so when the people from all nations come to him and rush to him as a stream or a river, they will come to him to learn to walk in his paths. Verse 3, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways, that we may walk in His paths. For the law, Torah, instruction will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, His word will go forth. And the people will come to be instructed. Just to hear new things, like those in Athens in Acts chapter 17 with Paul. People there love to hear new things. That's why they gave him ear for a little while, so he mentioned the resurrection. No, the people aren't going to just be streaming there to hear this new thing. What's this new thing in the land? There's only one God? People are going, hey, let's go find out what's going on. Let's go hear it. No. They will go to Him to learn from Him, to walk in His ways. See, in order for there to be world peace, when God is exalted as the only true God, the nations will go to Him to hear about His ways, that they might walk in His ways. The nations must walk in God's ways. They must obey His word. One other thing that must happen, verse 4. And He, that's the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Jacob, will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. See, He will be ruling. He will be divvying out justice. And then, and only then, will there be world peace. The end of verse 4. And they, picking up on peoples, these peoples, these many peoples from all nations, they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They'll take that which was used for war and use it for that which makes food for people to have to live. Instead of taking life, they will work to provide for life. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war or practice or train for war. Never again! No more war. Forget about weapons. Everyone break out your gardening equipment. That message would go over real well. That part of it would go over real well in this area, wouldn't it? But what does it take to get to that point? The only true God being exalted. The only true God being flocked to. In order to learn from Him and obey Him. And the only true God sitting on the throne, judging, dealing with disputes and everything else that goes on between peoples. That's what it takes. Then and only then will there be world peace. When's that going to happen? Verse 2, it will come about in the last days. It will come about. This passage coming here right after the previous passage is both to convict, exhort, and offer hope. It will come about, and it will come about in the last days. When is that going to be? Well, it's already begun. It's already begun. Turn to the book of Acts again. I say again because Mike has there. In the book of Acts, we pick up where Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come, has been crucified, has been buried, and raised from the dead. Then He ascended. He sent His Holy Spirit upon the disciples. Call it the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. There's Jews from all over the world there. And they're hearing Peter preach. And the message is going out. Chapter 4, talking to the Jewish leadership, Peter says this of Jesus, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But what they don't get yet is that that includes all the nations. But God gives Peter a vision, brings on a sheet, and on it there's some tasty food that is against the law. And God says, eat. Peter says, I can't. There's unclean food there. Though that bacon looks good. So does that lobster. It looks real good. But I can't. It's unclean. And God says, don't call unclean what I have called clean. And then Peter gets distracted. What's going on here? It's Cornelius, a Gentile of the other nations, comes. Cornelius goes to his household, preaches the gospel. The Holy Spirit is clearly upon these people. Paul and Barnabas go out. They're ministering. And then there's some confusion now. What do we do with these Jews? And some are saying, these Gentiles. And some of the Jews are saying they've got to follow the law. The men got to be circumcised. So they come together to figure out, I don't know what we should do about this. Verse 6 of chapter 15 of Acts now. The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. After they had much debate, Peter stood up and said, Brethren, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples, meaning the Gentile disciples, these other nation believers now, placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. All the people kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating the signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. So at that point, Peter gets up and says, look, this what happened? God gave me a vision. These Gentiles have the Holy Spirit now after believing in Jesus. We're saved by believing in Jesus. They're saved by believing in Jesus. So let's drop the whole circumcision, the whole law thing. Can we please? Paul and Barnabas are there saying, hey, we've got the same thing going on. And then James speaks up in verse 13. After they had stopped speaking, James answered saying, Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will rebuild the ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. Therefore it is my judgment we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from that which is strangled and from blood. From Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas to send to these Gentiles. Now I read that to you because that's not from Isaiah, but I'm reading to you chronologically here how the light went on. The Spirit illuminated for them that God was bringing about what he prophesied long ago, that the rest of mankind may seek him. and all the Gentiles who are called by His name. That's what you have there in Isaiah chapter 2. You have all the nations, many peoples, streaming to the mountain of Yahweh to receive His word and walk in His ways. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is Jesus. In the previous days, the Lord spoke to us through His prophets, but now He speaks to us through His Son. That was John 1 and Hebrews 1. Jesus Christ is the Word. And through Him, God was bringing, is bringing, all the nations to Himself. So it's begun. What a reproof and yet exhortation and encouragement to that original audience and the Jews after that. God was saying, no matter how many high places you have, My high place will be the highest place. No matter how many gods you come up with or copy or stream to or flock to or fornicate with, I, the only true God, will be exalted, and all the nations will come to Me. See, Israel was going after the gods of other nations, and God said to them, they're all going to come to Me. And that will come about. And that has begun. There is no other name by which anyone must be saved, Jew or Gentile, Jesus Christ, the only one. He is God fulfilling His promise to exalt Himself and bring all nations to Himself. Okay, but what about the part where we trade in our knives and our guns for hoes and rakes and we get gardening? And our disputes aren't dealt with by other fallen, sinful, selfish, wretched people, but by God Himself. Well, some say that's going to happen first in the millennium. Revelation. Now we go to the end. End of our Bibles. That which points at the last days. And they see this happening in the millennium in Revelation chapter 20. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know about that. Reading this over again recently, we read a lot into the millennium that just isn't there. But I do see nations mentioned in chapter 21. Chapter 21 of Revelation starts out this way. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I'm still getting over that part. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I want to jump now to the end of the chapter. This new Jerusalem, verse 22, there's no temple in it. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it. And its lamp is the Lamb. That's Jesus, by the way, in case you're not familiar with Revelation. The Lamb is Christ in the book of Revelation. Look at verse 24. And the nations, plural, nations, even though earlier on in the description of the New Jerusalem, there's gates and there's 12, like 12 tribes, it says this in verse 24, the nations will walk by its light. Its light, what light? The light of the lamp, which is the Lamb, who is the Word of God. The nations will walk by it. Does that sound familiar? And many people will say, come, let us go up to the house of the God of Jacob. that He may teach us His ways, we might walk in His paths. The nations will walk by its light. I don't know about chapter 20. I don't know about the millennium, but I know about this new heaven and new earth. Here it is right there. It's pretty straightforward. The nations will walk by its light. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. It's interesting it says kings of the earth. It's a new earth. Why don't you say new earth? Don't confuse me. It's yet to come. Verse 25, in the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. Guess that means the gates are open all the time, since there's no night there. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Referring back to the kings and the nations from verse 24. They will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, what do you have there? I don't know about your imagination, but I got the same picture in my mind that I see there, generally speaking, in Isaiah chapter 2. The city of God, the mountain of God, the mountain of the house of God is exalted above all others. And all the nations are streaming to Him. They're walking in His light. They're walking in His ways. They're obeying Him. And nothing unclean. No abomination. No lying. You can have justice when there's no lying. Shall ever come into it. That's the completion. That's the fulfillment. That's when there will be peace on earth. And I can say on earth because He says kings of the earth. That's when it will happen. You want peace on earth? God wants peace on earth. God's going to bring about peace on earth. But He's going to bring about His way in His timing. And it all focuses in on Jesus Christ, His Word, His Son, His Lamb, the Lamp. It's all about Him. Now, so what? Well, I've already indicated that for the first audience, it's a great amount of conviction, exhortation, and hope here. It's the same for us. That which is needed to bring about world peace has begun. It's begun. We're not even just looking forward to it. It's begun. That which was to give them hope is our present known hope. The fulfillment of it is still future to us as well. Where are you at in light of this truth? Well, world peace? Then the Lord, the God of Jacob, Jesus Christ, must be acknowledged as the only true God. Is that where you're at? Or do you have high places?
I don't go up under no oak trees. I don't do none of that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but are there things in your life that you bow down to, that you run to, that you long for, that make God second fiddle, second best? You tell Him, you're not so much. You're not enough. I've got this thing of my own over here. And it actually may require more effort to go and worship it than to be with you. But you know, that's where I'm at. I mean, really, are we any different? Are we any different than Jeroboam? He made a golden calf. He had to go out of your way to worship. How much effort do we pour forth running to things to bring us peace? What about the part where we're going to Him and calling others to come to Him to learn of His ways? We might walk in them. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. To abide in me is to obey my commands. To love God is to obey His commands. 1 John. And ironically, I say that jokingly, I don't believe in irony. This morning, final DVD series, John Piper, we ended with 8 things, how we should view God's Word. What was there? Reverence, cherishing it, studying it, obeying it, sharing it. And many peoples will come and say, come, come on, come. See this cool new shiny object I have? It's just going to be a pile of rust, burn, or be no good next week. No. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways. We may walk in His paths. What would you give up first? Your Bible or your cherished thingy? Again, this morning's DVD, Piper quoted some Puritan as saying, basically, take anything but God's Word. You're stuck in a desert island. You're going to be sent to a desert island. You can only have one thing. What's it going to be? First thing that comes to my mind, be a knife so I can get me some food because I'm always hungry. What good is food for the stomach if I know not the Lord? Reading about Elijah with the family. Elijah's in the temple. He's serving in the temple. And yet it says, he did not yet know the Lord. Are we around God's Word but don't know Him? And to know Him is to run for Him and call others along with us. Great, we got our facts right about what it's going to take for there to be world peace. But where are we in light of those facts in our lives today, here and now? And where's our hope fixed? Maybe you don't think, oh, there will be world peace if... But what about everything will be okay if... If I could just have, or if I could just lose, if or I could just gain, or if this would just go away, or if that would happen, then everything would be okay. See, that reveals your hope. Fact of the matter is, things aren't going to be okay. Ever. If we don't have peace with God. If the Lamb isn't our lamp. If He isn't exalted in our lives. It's easy to read. I'm reading through Kings, trying to keep my background straight here. And it's easy to look at them and go, I mean, I even stumble over that passage about Asa. Fully devoted to the Lord, but he kept the high places around. How can you do that? How can you do that? I do it. You do it. Does that mean we go, well, we're just going to keep high places around until we go to the grave anyway, so why bother dealing with them? No. Shall we sin all the more that grace may abound all the more? May it never be. may it never be. It's easy to look at them and think about how foolish. But we stumble in the same ways. We go up other hills. We rush after other endeavors and other things to bring us peace, to stand upon. We're even more excited to share with unbelievers sometimes the finite, frivolous things of life than we are with the one true life that is in Christ. But this passage, and therefore this message, is not meant as simply a conviction and exhortation. While we live and breathe, there is yet time. And no matter how bad things may seem, locally, nationally, internationally, there is hope. And the hope for Africa, the hope for China, the hope for India, the hope for Afghanistan, the hope for North America is the same hope. Yahweh, the God of Jacob, His Word, Jesus Christ. And it will come about. The day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And then there will be world peace. Join me in prayer. Father, as painful and as difficult as it might be, I pray that You would show us the high places in our lives. And grant us the strength to tear them down. Father, I pray that You give us hearts that are fully devoted to You. Pray that Your Spirit would be at work in us, Lord God. That our eyes would be fixed upon Christ. Right here and right now. That He would be exalted. And I pray, Father, that You would use us to bring the good news of peace through Jesus Christ to the nations. In Jesus' name, Amen.